Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hi, hello. Good morning, everybody. This is not my first time doing a show, but you might think it is based on how unprepared I am to do this show. I have a whole thing because Joe Brazil, our wonderful producer, is on assignment still, and he usually sets up the commercials and stuff, so our music for coming back and our little outro guy who says, like, you're listening to the Insiders, he sets all that up.
Okay.
When he's out, it's my job, and I didn't do it. It's on me. I'll wear that. But I also forgot to set up my recording today, so now I have to have Jesse do stuff for me when Jesse gets here.
Oh, no.
I know. I'm just, you know.
Wow. It's chaotic.
Slacking today. It's fine. It's fine.
Well, Tuesday we always get thrown for a loop because we like to sit out in the main area and write, you know, sit there and build out the rundown, right?
Yes.
And then we get kicked out on Tuesdays because it's sales meeting day.
Right.
So they all infiltrate our area and we get kicked out.
Right.
So it throws us for a loop every Tuesday.
I think what I'm going to do next Tuesday is I'm just going to move over to the couches instead of coming in here.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm not listening. Like, I can still work with them in the background.
Well, there's a lot of, like, clapping and, like.
That's fine. Yeah. I don't mind. Yeah. I don't need to be locked in. My process is not that deep.
Nope.
I'm good to just kind of.
Surf the internet, look for stuff to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not that deep.
We found something to talk about. We found today the reason that team owners should never talk to the media, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Hey, speaking of things we found on social media, before we get to some sadder news, remember the Coldplay video that took over the world?
Yeah.
With the astronomer, the AI company, the CEO allegedly having an affair with the director of HR.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing. All right. If you missed that, congratulations on having such a life that you missed that piece of the monoculture. I don't know a single person who wasn't like, hey, did you see that video?
Yeah.
My parents were like, yeah, I saw it. Oh, my God.
That guy dove.
Yeah. Everyone had thoughts. Everyone had jokes. That guy's suing Coldplay for invasion of privacy and emotional distress.
Bro.
Brother, you were at a concert.
Bro, it
a
says
a public concert.
Right on the ticket. There's a little thing that says you will be, there's possibility of you being filmed, your likeness being used, whatever.
Right. What grounds that he's crashing out is what happened. I don't think this guy is actually like thinking clearly and like, okay, let's see. I was done wrong. No, he's crashing out. And so he's looking for a way to make this right.
Oh, yeah.
And instead of just holding his L, instead of being a man and understanding that, man, you messed up. You did a bad.
Yeah.
Traumatized and impacted your own marriage and her marriage. You guys messed up.
Yep.
And you got to deal with that. Instead of holding that L, because naturally a rich person is like, I can't lose. I will sue them. Get the hell out of here. On what grounds? Emotional distress? How about the emotional distress you caused your wife and kids? They should sue you.
Oh, I think that's happening.
Like, come on.
I think the wife has already filed, and I think that...
Gonna sue over a kiss cam that everybody knows is there?
Yeah.
You see the camera panning around the stadium where they're showing people on the big board, and you didn't think for 1 second, hey, let's not look like a couple right now.
Yeah.
Like, come on. I'm gonna sue Coldplay over this. Okay. You got it. Idiot.
Idiot.
I would love to see the lawyer's face when this guy sits down and is like, I want to present my case, and the lawyer's like, nah, I seen the video, dog.
We all saw the video.
And like you said, it's not even like you have to dig that deep into the terms and conditions of your ticket from Ticketmaster. You're not exempt from this because you were in a suite. Like, nah, you're at a public concert. And what if somebody had just walked by who knew you and saw you and took a photo and sent it to your wife?
Well, not only that, but Coldplay, they're not the ones who captured that video and put it out there. That was a fan watching and looking at the Kiss cam and, like, had video of it.
That's it. This has been said a million times. If they had played it off like, oh, a little smooch, like, ah, ha, ha, that video never sees the light of day.
Oh, no.
Never. But they made it a thing. It went viral because of their reaction.
Oh, yeah. Like the other viral one we had in Sacramento, which we won't talk about on the air. You don't remember the Kiss cam that went sideways?
No. I have a vague memory, but I don't.
It involved a hair tie, Kyle.
Oh, yeah. That's right. There we go. Hey-o. He remembers. I knew. I was like, there was.
Like, oh, wait, there was something, right?
No, I was like, there's definitely. I remember that.
Yes.
Anyways, in less fun news, the Major League Baseball world lost an icon yesterday. Ryan Sandberg lost his battle with cancer at the age of 65. This is a strange one for me, so I'm going to kind of let you carry it here because I know Ryan Sandberg as a legend. I know him as a 9-time Gold Glover and a 10-time All-Star and an MVP and a Hall of Famer. I know all that about Ryan Sandberg. But I did not grow up with. I think he played his last game when I was 6 years old.
Yeah.
So I will let you talk about Ryan Sandberg, who was more your generation.
Yeah, I think, like, first of all, like, losing legends from when you're growing up is tough, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was a huge baseball fan growing up, and I think there is something about, was it WGN, has mm-hmm. always been on TV, and you can always watch a Cubs game in the middle of the day.
Yep.
And so during summer, like, when your team's not playing, you can always watch, you know, find the Braves game on TBS or TNT.
Yep.
And you can always find the Cubs game. And Sandberg was part of a really, really cool group of players in Chicago that, you know, they were lovable losers forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to watch him play, I think he's the first second baseman with 40 home runs in a season, which he hit in 1990.
Yeah, led the league.
Yeah, you know, he was an MVP. He was a guy who played a ton of holds the record for most consecutive games without an error at second base.
Jeez.
He was just a great baseball player. And, you know, again, that team was fun. Sean Dunston and Mark Grace at first base. You know, that was just one of those groups of players that you remember. And, if, you know, again, it's tough, but this is life. And, you know, cancer, it's horrible. And it doesn't care if you were an MVP or how many games you played or anything else. It hits everybody. And so, you know, thoughts and prayers out to his family. Just a tough day. 65 years old.
I have just way too young, man. RIP to Ryan Sandberg. I said a legend in Major League Baseball and a Hall of Famer. I was doing some digging last night, because when a player of this caliber passes away, I feel the need to go learn about that player, because you can't. I love baseball history, but so much of my reading and stuff has been like in the World War II kind of baseball era.
Okay,
and really, like, span Ted Williams' career. That's kind of the era I've been super interested in. So when somebody like a Ryan Sandberg passes away, I feel the need to go, like, deep dive their career. So I feel like I knew the player a little bit, and I found out this is a thing I did not know, because I've only known Ryan Sandberg as, like, all time Cubs great, starting second baseman and an all time Cubs lineup, et cetera, et cetera. I did not realize that he started his career with the Phillies and was traded to the Cubs in 1982 with Larry Boa for a person named Ivan De Jesus.
I feel bad about Ivan De Jesus, because he's just sitting around somewhere, if he's still alive,
well,
you know, going, hey, why am I getting Why am I getting dragged? Why am I getting dragged at this point? That doesn't make any sense. But sure enough, he is part of one of the worst lopsided trades of all time.
I believe Ivan De Jesus is still with us.
He is 72 years old.
Hell yeah. Good for him. Salute. I hope he's doing great. But you talk about lopsided trades. And I went, man, the Cubs trade. Ivan De Jesus went on to spend 3 years with the Philadelphia Phillies. He hit 249 and accumulated 2.9 wins above replacement in 463 games. And I know that people bristle at that stat. And I do too a little bit, because depending on where you look it up, it's going to be different because people have different formulas. And if you ask me what the formula is, I wouldn't be able to tell you. But historically and on a year-to-year basis, WAR does a pretty nice job if you just put in order the top WAR accumulators for a season. Is typically like, hey, yeah, that's pretty roughly the 10 best guys in the league.
Yeah.
I pretty rarely quibble with like, man, that guy sucks. He had a how much? He had a 7 WAR season? No, he didn't. Like, it's pretty. So anyways, I'm going to use it as a catch-all stat here, because Ivan De Jesus, and again, it's a cumulative stat, so the more games you play, the higher your WAR can go, or the further it can dip. But he accumulated, in 463 games, 2.9 wins above replacement.
Mm.
Here are Ryne Sandberg's wins above replacement totals from 1982 to 1993. These are for one season. Ivan De Jesus, 2.9 in 463 games, his entire Phillies career. Here's Ryne Sandberg per year with the Cubs. 3.1, 3.7, 8.5, 5.9, 3.4, 2.4, 4.7, 6.1, 7.1, 7, 7.8, 3.4.
All but one season.
All but one season. And in that one season, he only played 132 games.
Mm.
And he accumulated 2.4 WAR. So all but one year, he outdid Ivan De Jesus' entire production with the Phillies.
It's tough.
And he did that every year except one, from 1982 to 1993.
In all honesty, I think the trade was really centered around... was it
Larry Boa?
Yeah, Larry Boa.
You think?
Yeah, they said that Sandberg was more of a toss-in in the deal.
Wow.
And, you know, again, you know, De Jesus ended up, you know, starting at shortstop for them for 3 years.
Sure. Yeah, it's no.
Not a good trade.
It's tough. Really yeah. Tough. Shout out to Ryne Sandberg and rest in peace to a legend. In Major League Baseball. That is weird, man. 65. Oof.
Yeah, and he had battled prostate cancer and then was cancer-free. Yeah. And then it came back, I think they said, like in December or something. Yeah. Yeah, just really tough.
You see all the pictures. It's cool around not cool, but around Wrigleyville. There's people paying tribute by his statue. All the bars have, like, signs up. The Wrigley Field sign. He was the guy, man.
Yeah.
Man. That's gonna hurt.
Yeah, it's one of
those
things.
I'm not prepared for my childhood idols to...
Well, I mean, for me, it happened this offseason. I mean, we lost Ricky Henderson just absolutely, out of nowhere, just stunning. Yeah. Like, even when it broke that night, it was like, no, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways. R.I.P. Ryne Sandberg. Hey, we have a couple minutes. I'm going to do something completely unrelated. I need, and I wrote about this in NinersWire.com. I need the 49ers, and we'll talk about the 49ers a little bit today. We'll get to some Kings offseason grades as well that we did not get to yesterday. And we finally know what the Warriors are offering Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah.
So we can dive into figure. We can dive into all of that. But, man, the 49ers on July 25th, okay, that was last Friday.
Okay.
Announced that they will be revealing their new uniforms on August 28th. We've known for a while now that the 49ers are going to get rivalries uniforms. The NFC West and the AFC East. Those 8 teams will get a rivalries edition uniform. It's going to be something very different.
Okay.
I'm terrified for what the 49ers rivalry uniform is going to look like. I think it might be like one of the colors that they've in their visual rebrand. One of their new colors is called Heritage Cream.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't even...
Yeah.
Like, where's the flag?
Buddy.
Yeah.
I know it. It's insane. what a wild name.
What is happening?
So I'm afraid that that color is going to be, like, incorporated where it's, like, a solid heritage cream top with heritage cream pants. And then there's, like, this textured gold that I'm afraid is going to be... I'm just terrified. I'm so worried for what these uniforms are going to be.
Like a leopard skin gold?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. But they announced on July 25th that August 28th, that's all we need to know. Okay, yeah. August 28th, we got it. They have since, in the 3 days after that, produced 4 pieces of content around letting everybody know that August 28th is the date that the new uniforms are going to come out. It's like they had a bunch of ideas for how to announce the date and went, hey, we'll just do all of them in a 4-day span. And I'm guessing there's more. And they've made it this meta thing where the freaking, the whoever runs the account, they're doing this like fourth wall break of like, people are always say, show me the uniforms, not how is admin doing? And then all these people like asking for uniforms, they use their tweets and a clip like teasing the uniform and not giving any detail. And they caption it like not even a please. It's like they're making fun of fans for being excited about a uniform.
Mm.
And like, buddy, that's like a whole thing. Like, people love a uniform reveal. If they were doing this and they were gonna be giving out like little morsels of like, hey, here's kind of the jersey color. Is that a sleeve or is that a pant? Like, what is it? Wait, was that the helmet? Is that what color face mask is that? Like, if you were doing little things like that, giving little hints of what the uniform might look like that people can discuss, that's one thing. But being like, hey, you've got to have to wait till August 28th. Yeah, we know. We're on it. We've got it circled. And there are people out there that don't give a damn, who don't care. And cool. Yeah, James doesn't give a rip. So you don't care if it's August 28th or September 28th. You don't, like, they're going to wear a uniform and they're going to play a game and it's not going to affect you at all. Got it. But there are people who do care. And so when they post like uniform content, you're like, oh, we're going to get a little glimpse of it. No, it's a, hey, you looked like that sucks, dude. The Niners change what they're doing social media-wise. I know a lot of people don't care. I do. It sucks. What they're doing is trash.
That's interesting. I mean, I'm hoping...
I needed to get that off my chest.
I'm hoping that, like, Home Depot does, like, a 49ers heritage cream paint. And that you can buy a... You can get a swatch.
I don't want a heritage cream paint. I don't want that at all. You keep your heritage cream to yourself. That's James. How doers get more done. that's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We'll talk about the Kings offseason. We have an offseason grade for the Kings that isn't great. We'll talk more about Jonathan Kuminga. And hey, I was apoplectic over the weekend. The Kings get an F in their offseason from me. For this move that they didn't make. We'll talk about it. That's James O'Kyle. A couple hours left. The Insiders, ESPN 1320, Jiffy Lube, et cetera, et cetera.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
He's James O'Kyle. Talked about this a little bit yesterday. Actually, check that. We did not talk about this yesterday.
We sort of talked about it.
What the hell are the Sacramento Kings doing? Rather, what are they not doing? Isaiah Crawford.
Oh.
AKA the future of the franchise's rotation.
The Colby Jones replacement for the Colby Jones fan club.
The t-shirts, the Isaiah Crawford fan club t-shirts, hoodies, and hats are in production.
Ugh.
And they let him walk.
Okay, so, like, look, I don't know what happened in Summer League, but he didn't stand out, and that's a bummer.
To you.
I thought his first game was good, but after that, he really struggled to stand out.
Floated.
I was really confused by what was happening with him on the court, and I know all the focus was on Neek and all the focus was on Devin Carter and Maxime Reynaud and all that. You know, Isaac Jones just goes out and steals the stage.
Yep.
But that's what you know, Isaiah Crawford should have been trying to do. So he was on a two-way contract last year. The Kings extended a qualifying offer for said two-way contract, which, you know, basically made it so they could match any two-way contract that he got. And they also, like, he's a restricted free agent, right? But then they pulled that and allowed him to go sign with Houston. Clearly, his agent said, hey, we've got a deal here with someone else. Do you mind if we go sign it? And the Kings pulled back their offer because it happened so quickly. But, like, pretty surprised because I like Isaiah Crawford. I think he's one of those players that, you know, you don't know if he's going to develop or not. But what you do know is that he's a 3-and-D guy, and you need as many of those players as possible. And I think Houston got a very good young man. We'll see if he ever makes it in the league, but very solid human being and someone who I think is a good culture guy.
The fact that the Rockets picked him up tells me everything I need to know.
Yeah, if it was OKC, you would have been like, oh, it's even worse.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess for, and I say this understanding that a lot of my optimism about Isaiah Crawford is just projection. It's just he's this body type. He has sort of this skill set.
Yeah.
But again, it's all in theory. It's not like he was averaging 40 a night in Stockton.
No, but he did shoot 40%+ from three in Stockton. And
sure. But then he goes down to Summer League. And we talked about this a little bit. And like you said, we had different focuses. But I kept waiting for Isaiah Crawford to have that one game where he had 28.
And, or even 20 would have been like, hey, look at that.
Right. Yeah. And puts the ball on the deck a little bit and has that 5-minute stretch where you go, oh my God, Isaiah Crawford.
Yeah.
Dang. And that just never, and the fact that that never materialized in that environment, and that's not to expect because I know Neek was going to handle the ball a lot. I know Devin Carter had to get his shots up. I know that Maxime Renault was cooking. I know that Mason Jones had the ball in his hands a lot. And then, like you mentioned, Isaac Jones in the last couple of games. But I kept that there was still room for somebody else to make some kind of impact. And there's a difference between playing a role and being too passive. And he must have just been too passive because I can't get my brain around why the Kings would let a player who fits an archetype that they just don't really have or don't have enough of.
Yeah.
Why you'd let that guy get out of your building unless they have decided, all right, hey, this is a year plus a summer league. He didn't make these four improvements in the offseason, these two improvements in the offseason. So we're not going to maneuver to make sure he stays around.
Yeah, I'll point this out too. So the Kings, Keegan Murray, Zach LaVine, Domantas Sabonis, Keon Ellis, Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan, Devin Carter, Isaac Jones, Terrence Davis, and Doug McDermott.
Mm-hmm.
That's 10 players from last year's roster that are still here and that are back.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to build something that's your own, you don't always want to have residual holdover players. And
sure,
they use their other two-way contracts to go out and land a couple of players that they like. And so that's one way in which you can kind of put your own stamp and say, hey, these are the guys that, undrafted guys that we think might be something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they might be looking at the same thing. Like, they just want something different.
And, I guess.
And that's okay. I'm just kind of surprised because, like, 6'6", 220, 225, like, built like a defensive lineman or a linebacker.
He's a tank.
You know, a guy, again, who shot over 40% from three, who played excellent defense at the G League level. You kind of looked at him and said, okay, you might have something here.
Mm.
And they just didn't feel that way. And the one thing that I, you know, with two-way contracts with G League players,
mm-hmm.
you do move on quicker than you do with normal guys that you sign to long-term contracts.
Yeah.
Or even like, you know, the second-round pick contracts and stuff. You know, the Kings moved on from Colby Jones really quick as well.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, that's kind of the way that works. Like, if you're not going to step up and look like a ball player, like every single time you're on the court, even at summer league level, then you kind of got to move on.
Yeah. Yeah. When you go into summer league in year two and you're outside of, what do you have in game one? 13?
Yeah. I think 12,
12, 13.
Yeah. Something like that. I think he hit four threes.
And outside of that, you're just kind of a non-factor.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna joke because that was my guy, but I'm 0 for 2 now. In picking G League guys, I think we're gonna, or two way guys, I thought we're gonna pop.
It's always a bummer, like
tough
when you get young players, when they draft young players, you're always like super high on them and hoping that, you know, the best things happen for them, and then they just don't, like, so often they don't work out.
And it's still projection. Like, I can sit here and go, like, wow, the Kings might have messed up, but it's like, might have is doing a lot of work there.
Yeah.
I'm projecting that Isaac Jones can be Lou Dort. That's just in my...
Isaiah Crawford.
Isaiah Crawford.
Yeah.
Not Isaac Jones. Isaiah Crawford. I'm projecting in my brain that Isaiah Crawford could be Lou Dort. He is miles away from being close to Lou Dort.
Oh yeah,
much less being Lou Dort. But that's where this is. This is one of the. It's like, man, you're letting this potential go. And I think if I talked to Scott Perry or somebody in the Kings front office, they'd be like, eh, like the potential isn't quite what you think it is.
Well, yeah, and they get to see a lot more than we do,
no doubt.
Like they're in the lab every single day watching these guys. You know, people who don't know this, but the practice facility, which is attached to Golden 1 Center. Mm-hmm. It's two giant courts, right? Mm-hmm. And then right off to the side, they have their training room and their weight room. It's all right there. And then there's a staircase that goes up, and that's where they have a lounge, and they have a full-time chef right there in a full kitchen working right there.
Okay.
So they serve breakfast, they serve lunch. If you need dinner, whatever, you can always get food from them.
Mm-hmm.
Overlooking the court up on the second floor are windows, and there are executive office, coach's office. I think Matina has an office up there. Mm-hmm. General manager has an office. Head coach has an office. All of them can look over the court. So even when they're just like sitting there doing some basic work, or they're sitting in their office making phone calls, there's almost always someone in the gym, and you can look down and just watch them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they literally have their eyes on these guys at all times. They know work ethic. They know, if they're shooting threes with a development coach, and they're hitting, you know, maybe 25 or 30%,
right,
out of with no one guarding them, you start to go, okay, look, the good old days with Peja Stojakovic, Antoine Wright told me this one time. When the first year I was covering the team, he said, we used to get in 3-point shootouts with Peja and Dirk. And he's like, man, if you don't hit 97 out of 100, you're not in the running for the money.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. Like you hit 92, 93, you're probably losing your money. And it's like, why would you even play then? Because I'm not like, I might hit 13 out of 100. But yeah.
Golly.
So there are things that you can see from a player in the development, and you're like, okay, it's not happening. And that it's too bad. Like, or maybe they're just like, hey, it doesn't matter whether it's going to happen here or not. We have our eyes set on something different, just someone different. And, you know, again, maybe they're looking at a 6'8", 6'9" version of that that's floating out there that doesn't have a job.
Sure.
So there's always that possibility too.
Salute to the Isaiah Crawford era. It was a fun run.
Yeah.
I got to figure out what player I'm going to curse next. If I like a Stockton King, not going to work out.
Yeah.
I'm not telling anybody what I think about Isaac Jones.
You're not going to do like a Dylan Cardwell?
Maybe Dylan Cardwell will be the guy.
Yeah.
I got to see. I got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Dylan Cardwell did the thing that every rookie needs to do, by the way. Every rookie... And we should have talked about this a while ago, but Dylan Cardwell shouted out Quincy Acey.
Oh, that's
in
right.
In his first media availability. I think it was at the facility before they went down to summer league. Every rookie, look, if you're going to be a pro athlete, or if you're an athlete now and you're hoping to go pro someday, when you get drafted or signed to a team, immediately go to that team's reference page, basketball reference, football reference, baseball reference, scroll back like 30 years, 20 years, click on the team, find a player on the roster and learn a little bit about that player and be like, yeah, I grew up watching player X.
Yeah.
I grew up watching, man, the first time I watched Marcus Thornton with the Kings, you'd be like, whoa, wow, Because he did that with Quincy Acey. And immediately, everybody was like, this guy's got it.
Yeah.
And then anything he did in Summer League, people were like, there he is. There's our guy. He's one of us.
That's
like,
right.
That's brilliant. That's so smart. Like, just go, every Pick rookie should be doing favorite. This. Can you imagine if Ashton Jeanty had sat down at his first press conference as a Raider and been like, I'm so excited to carry on the legacy of Charlie Garner or Napoleon Kaufman or Tyrone Wheatley or Zach Crockett. People would have been like, he's a Raider. He bleeds silver and black.
That's right.
Michael Williams sits down and he's just like, you know, I loved watching John Engelberger as a kid. He's like,
I've watched a lot of Fred Dean tape and I am ready. I have
watched a lot of Fred Dean tape.
So ready.
Yeah, man. That's just every team needs to, every young player needs to do that with their new team. Just go find a random player from when you were a kid. So it's Dylan Cardwell, 22, 23.
Yeah, he might be like 24 going on 25. It's just kind of.
Okay, so go back 15 years of Kings basketball. Ooh.
You could probably go, ooh. Hey, I think I could. He could have brought up like Yogi Stewart. Like, you don't know who that is.
Yogi Stewart's a swing and a miss for me.
Michael Stewart, he was a local kid that the Kings brought in, and then all of a sudden, all he did was block shots everywhere. And you're like, what in the world?
Yeah.
And then Toronto paid him way too much, and he sat on their bench for the rest of his career.
Hey, good for him making money, though. We love to see it.
Yeah.
Man. When he said that and the reaction, it was like, dude. This guy gets it.
He does.
This guy flat out, every rookie needs to do that.
Well, even Michael the Animal Smith, like, hey, I think I can be that guy. And you'd be like, sure. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he was incredible.
Yeah.
And a huge fan favorite.
Yeah, man. I hope, maybe it'll be Dylan Cardwell. I got to go do some research.
But then
I gotta do some digging on the Stockton Kings.
You have somebody who would come in and be like, I want to be the next Olivier Sechouart. And you're like, bro, no one liked
but
him.
Now you're trying too hard.
Like, no one liked him. Like, what do you mean?
You can't try too hard with the name.
Oh, yeah.
You got to find a guy who played a little bit. Did so, like, they have to be kind of relatively the same position as you.
Yeah.
Same style of player as you. There's an art to it. You can't just close your eyes and pick a player.
Yeah.
You can't be a third baseman who's like, yeah, I can't wait to carry on the legacy of Coco Crisp. And you're like, that's weird.
It's just weird.
It's a strange, like, salute to Coco. He's great, but
you're nothing like Coco.
Not even close.
Yeah.
You're tall and a third baseman and you hit for power.
And you can't do the lean.
You can't do the, yeah. You don't have the back flexibility. The Bernie lean was a moment, man. That was such a wild time.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was 2012. That was when the Giants were good, because the Giants won the World Series that year. That was when the Giants were good. The A's were really good out of nowhere. They had the Bernie lean. That was so fun.
How many times have the A's been good out of nowhere?
Every time they're good.
Every time they're good, it is. Except for in the 80s, it was like, oh, no, this is a powerhouse.
Right. They had the highest payroll in the league then.
Well, yeah, but they also hit three Rookie of the Years in a row. So you had Walt Weiss, you had Jose Canseco, Mark McGwire, like, boom, boom, boom. You're like, oh, my gosh, they've got something. And then they added rookie back, and
a good team.
Yes.
But yeah, every time the A's have been good, it's like, oh.
Well, how did that happen?
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for this A's team, dude. That's, you can see it. Like, if you've followed the A's for a long time, you see the outline. Like, all right, hey, this group of players at some point is going to have an over-under of 78.5, and they're going to win 95. That's going to happen.
Yeah, you're just waiting for them to find the big three pitchers.
They're right there.
Yeah.
They're so cool.
They've got so many bats. You're like, hey, can you please find a couple of pitchers? And, you know, they went out in the draft. They drafted a pitcher first with their first pick.
Can you find pitchers that aren't dramatically overpaying Luis Severino?
Yeah.
Nothing against Luis Severino. But when he's the ace of your staff, that's a problem. That's a really significant problem.
Yeah.
Speaking of problems in baseball, the Giants have one. The Giants have the biggest problem in sports right now. We'll get into that. We'll keep talking about the Kings offseason as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jesse Toppy will be with us shortly. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. It is Sacramento Sports Center.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Billy Butler's not even 40 yet.
What?
Billy Butler's only 39 years old.
Oh.
Feels right, like one of those guys that's been 40 for about 5 years.
That's facts. Or looks like that's facts. Least. That's absolutely. I thought he was 38 when he played for the A's.
He hasn't played in 9 years.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
If you're listening on the radio or on the Odyssey app, or on the iHeart app, or the free TuneIn app, which we're available on all of those, download today and just search ESPN 1320. Then you can listen to us anywhere in the world. We were just kind of naming some guys during the break, and it's Billy randoms. Butler came up. Somebody asked how we felt about the nickname Country Breakfast. Really good nickname. Mm-hmm. Not a good enough player to have that really good nickname, in my opinion.
I mean, he had some really good years in Kansas City.
Totally.
Just totally faded quick. I mean, how are you out of the league at age 30? And even the year he's out of the league, his last year he played for Oakland. Mm-hmm. And for the Yankees, he batted .345 for the Yankees and like limited at bats, 29 at bats. But still, you're like, he can still go up there and hit. But I guess if you never develop the pop and you're not a very mobile first baseman, you're like, I almost wonder, like, right now, if with the NL having the DH role, if he would have been able to continue to play. But yeah, I can't believe he's out of the league at age 30.
Out of the league.
And for a guy who, by the age he retired, he retired with 1,479 hits. It's not like the guy was a complete waste of space. I mean, no. 290 career hitter.
No, he's good. He just fell off.
Yeah, that's wild.
Crazy. Real quick, speaking of crazy, we're giving away Aftershock tickets, which is wild. You can win two single-day passes to Aftershock at Discovery Park October 2nd through the 5th, courtesy of Danny Wimmer Presents. Just enter online at ESPN1320.com. There's a contest page there. You enter ESPN1320.com, find the contest page, and enter to win two single-day passes to Aftershock at Discovery Park. Hell yeah.
There's one.
What is it? One what?
You just got one
of
our reads.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Hang on. You're right. I didn't.
There we go.
You're right. That's
Ben Juarez is going nuts here in the chat. I mean,
what is it? What? What's
he's
the
like?
Deal?
He's been watching a ton of Kenny Thomas tape. You know, he's
from the, just naming random Kings when you get drafted by the Kings.
Mikey Moore's handles or something. I've been modeling my game after. What did they call him? The Lobster? Yeah.
Hey, there ain't no way this is true. Drew Eubanks' nickname on Basketball Reference is the Shaq of Troutdale.
No.
Ain't no way.
That can't be.
If that's true, I take back everything I said about Drew Eubanks being behind Maxime Raynaud. In fact, I'm not going to argue that Drew Eubanks should start at center for the Kings.
It's the Shaq of Troutdale.
I bet he is, though.
I can confirm that is his only nickname on Basketball
that's
Reference,
right.
The Shaq of Troutdale.
I mean, like, look, if...
Anyone want to dispute that?
Dude, I don't doubt it, because I bet in Troutdale, Oregon, you couldn't stop Drew Eubanks.
I'm going to look up Troutdale's all-time athletes right now.
Yeah, no, please do that. Yeah, find out. He went to Reynolds High School in Troutdale. We got to go. But, dude, he's 6'9", 245. I'm sure he was a monster in high school. Couldn't guard him.
That's absolutely ridiculous. I can't believe his nickname is
Shaq of Troutdale.
The Shaq of Troutdale.
Hey, I bet that's got to be so cool, though. Like just being, I guess, the Shaq of Troutdale, like this little small town, but just I dominated everyone over here.
You're a legend in that city. Town.
If I were to ask you, who is the Shaq of Troutdale, whose nickname is that on Basketball Reference, we would go through like probably 400 players before we got to Drew Eubanks.
We might land on Drew Eubanks because eventually when we started running out of people, we would just start naming players on the Kings.
Just start getting, just or just random people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eventually we would come across.
Yeah, it looks like Drew Eubanks is the only notable athlete from Troutdale.
Really?
Yeah, I'm looking at the top-ranked basketball players of all time from Oregon high schools.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we're
Who's number one on that list?
It's not really a rank. It's just more so it's all the high schools from alphabetical order.
Did they by chance have Drew Eubanks' high school stats listed there?
They do not. Kyle Singler's on this list. Shout out.
Of course he is.
Hayden Pritchard, Nico Harrison is here. Damon Studmeier's on this list.
Oh, wow.
Some notable ones.
From that same city?
No, just from Oregon, I guess.
Oh, from Oregon.
Yeah, from Oregon high schools. Shout out Mike Dunleavy Jr.
Who's the most famous person from your high school?
Me?
Or Tim? Oh, yeah?
No. we had, so my buddy Kyle Quinn, shout out to the homie. He played football down at the University of Arizona and had a cup of coffee with like the Eagles and the Cardinals. We had the number 3 overall pick in the MLB draft came out of my high school 1 year. Drew Gagneau, who was my graduating class, salute to Drew. Tried to get him on the show a while back. Didn't work out. He's playing in China now, I think.
Okay.
But he was a 3rd-round pick by the Brewers and pitched in the majors. I think he pitched for the Angels. He got to the show and the Mets, I believe he got to the show. Drew Eubanks in high school averaged 16.7 points, 8.9 rebounds, 3.2 blocks, 1.2 assists, and half a steal per game during his entire high school career. Good player. Also played baseball.
All right.
Hell yeah. Shout out to multi-sport athlete Drew Eubanks.
The Shark of Troutdale.
Do you know what his field goal percentage was?
Well, 70s. I'm not going to put an actual percentage, but somewhere in the 70s.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was just for one game. Sorry. His varsity year, 16.7, 8.9. I don't have a field goal percentage here. Dang. It said 88%.
Just deep into our Drew Eubanks bag right now.
We are. When someone says the Shack of Troutdale, I'm gonna keep it a stack. When I went to look up the Shack of Troutdale's numbers, I was expecting like 30 points a night, 6 blocks.
How many rebounds we got? Do we know?
25 boards. 9 boards.
Oh.
More like he's like the Kevin McHale of Troutdale.
He might be the Quincy Acey of Troutdale.
Were you here for Jerry Reynolds telling that story?
Jerry Reynolds feels like a guy who would be from Troutdale, Oregon.
No, he's from French Lick.
No,
Indiana.
I know that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he said
French Lick, the Troutdale of Indiana. Go ahead.
Like one time he's talking to Larry Bird, and Larry Bird said, he said, "Oh, you're one of the best rebounders in the game for your position." He's like, he goes, "Well, I'm not even like the best rebounder on my team." He's like, "Well, who's the best rebounder on your team?" He's like, "Well, it's Kevin McHale." It's like, "Well, you average more rebounds per game than Kevin McHale." He goes, "Yeah, but I go for every rebound, and I don't get that many of them. Kevin doesn't go for it for any of them, and he gets right around the same that I do. Funny. He just doesn't try. So when he tries, he gets the same. He gets all of the rebounds.
Man,
you're like, oh, okay.
James. Next time you talk to Drew Eubanks, can you ask him about this nickname, please?
You know what? I need a full story at the Kings Beat. KingsBeat.com.
Yeah.
Subscribe today. I need a full story on the Shack of Troutdale.
Yeah, we do need to figure that one out.
I'm making calls.
Oh, yeah?
I will call the Troutdale athletic director.
We'll get him on the show.
I need to know.
We can get that number, by the way.
I love this right here from Steve. Yep, that's right.
What is that? James Hamm might be the most famous person. I would buy that. I would definitely buy that.
Which high school did you go to, James?
I'm not even doing a bit.
I went to Nevada Union.
Like, there's no chance that there's that many famous people from Nevada Union, unless an NFL player came out of there that I don't know about.
Spencer Havner used to play for the Packers. He was a
Spencer Havner was a first baseman for the Cleveland Indians.
More like Spencer have no clue who that is, James.
Bang, bang, got him! Yeah.
It was like a tight end H-back for the Packers for a couple of years.
Okay.
Steve Gordon, who was an offensive lineman. He was a few years, well, a lot older than me, but he dated a girl I worked with at Big A's Drive-In forever. He was an offensive lineman who actually went in the expansion draft when they opened up the Cleveland Browns again after they had left.
Okay. Oh, Tanner Vallejo went to Nevada Union.
Yeah.
Nice. All right.
Yeah.
Played for Buffalo, Cleveland, Washington, and Arizona. Linebacker. Last played in 2022.
Oh, okay.
Starts in college.
And then the other, Josh Reneke, I think, made it to the bigs.
Oh,
his dad is Gary Reneke, the Reneke brothers from the 80s.
Okay.
His brother, Gary's brother, Ron Reneke, was a manager forever,
okay.
Major League Baseball.
Okay.
They didn't go to school there, but their Gary Reneke's sons did. And Gary was one of our football coaches.
I want to know from the chatty house, or you can hit us up on the Oak Grove Kid Talk line at 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. I want to know who the most famous person you went to high school with. Like, did you go to high school with somebody who is famous from your high school?
Okay.
Like, Drew Gagne pitched a little bit in the majors. I was in high school with him.
Did you catch for him?
Okay. I did. One time, he's throwing a bullpen to me. This is the summer we're going into college. He went to Long Beach, played at Long Beach. And so he's throwing a bullpen to me. And he's throwing his bullpen off the front of the mound for whatever reason he was. And so he gives me a call and he says, hey, can you come catch the bullpen? I'm like, yeah, I got you, Doc. I haven't played baseball in months. So I can he does what I thought was the changeup thing with his glove. And his changeup is going to break down and into a righty. So I'm expecting something in the high 70s, low 80s, breaking down and into a righty. He threw a fastball that just drill, like, because my feet, you know, are kind of at an angle when you're in a squat, just drills the inside arch of my foot.
Oh.
91, just bah! Oh! God, I couldn't walk for a week. Oh, it was the worst. And then he's like, you good? All right, here we go. Fastball. Like, thanks.
Thanks. Just yell it out next time.
Yeah, you just call it.
Just call it.
Jerk. God, that hurts so bad.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was fun. I think I've told this story before about him, but he got drafted out of high school and then chose not to go to high school. So he was a big, or chose not to go
to college.
To the draft, he went to college.
Oh, okay. Said,
yeah. And in the paper, in the local paper, which used to be a thing when I was in high school, in the local paper, the press picks where the BVAL teams are going to finish. That was the league, Bay Valley Athletic League. And we got picked to finish last. And the write-up thing was like, there's not much to watch with Liberty, but Drew Gagne is a draft prospect worth keeping an eye on, or something like that. And our coach makes a big show of it at the next practice, brings the paper out, and reads it out loud. And when he read the thing about, like, there's not much to watch except for Drew Gagne, we were all like, yeah. Yeah, damn, he got us. He's absolutely right. But our coach is like, we're more than one guy. That he had a voice like that, a very shrill. I hate this guy, by the way. We're more than one guy, and we're going to go show them that these guys don't know what they're talking about, blah, blah, blah.
Your coach was Ralph Barbieri? What?
R.I.P. Ralph. So that he's young. And it wasn't the next day. But it was within that week, we played a game at Camp Olindo High School. We won 2-0. Drew pitches a complete game shutout and hit a 2-run homer. It's like, yep. The next game, it's like, hey, man, hey, coach, they might have got us. They might have been right. That was crazy.
That's
shout out
funny.
To Drew. He has a beautiful family now. Love the guy. All right, we got to step aside real quick. The Kings got a pretty dismal offseason grade from ESPN. We'll talk about it next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's Jesse Tapia. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. No Joe Brazil today on ESPN 1320 in Sacramento Sports.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.